Greetings, friends, and welcome to the Beach Church Podcast. This is the podcast for February 23rd, the year of our Lord 2025, and this is the seventh Sunday after the Epiphany. It is an absolute joy to be here with you in this moment, and I pray our time together will be a time of reflection and revitalization and renewal as we open ourselves up to God's presence with us, to God's good word, and how it can inspire us in our daily living. And so let's begin the way we begin around here, by inviting a spirit of gratitude into our lives. So let's do that by taking a big old breath. Breathe with me now. Take in that breath. Take in as much of a breath as you can, and hold on to it. And let it go. And let's do that again. Take in a big breath. Hold on to it. And savor it and name it for the gift that it is. The gift of life. And we let it go. And this time, as you breathe in and out. I encourage you to call to mind the people and the places and the opportunities that fill you with joy, that light you up inside, those things for which you are most grateful. Some favorite person, a great love, your favorite spot in the house, you know what I'm saying. And take a moment to thank God for each and every one of these things, each of these people, each of these opportunities. Thank you, God, for every good and perfect gift comes from your hand. This moment is a gift that you give us. This time we spend together, thank you, God. Open up your arms. Turn your face toward the sky. And in this posture, in this spirit, let's begin together in worship. Let's join together in the call to worship as printed in your digital bulletin. You can find that bulletin to the left of where you found today's podcast, just over on the left margin, down below the line. I think it says sermon notes. Tap on that, click on it, and the bulletin will come up. Let's begin. As we gather today, let us open our hearts to the radical love that Jesus calls us to embody. We come to love our enemies and do good to those who hate us. Jesus teaches us to bless those who curse us and pray for those who mistreat us. We come to embrace the challenge of loving without measure. Let us remember that our Father in heaven is merciful, and he calls us to reflect that mercy in our lives. We come to be transformed by his love, ready to share it with all. Together, let us worship the God who loves us unconditionally. Amen.
See you.
Our scripture reading comes from Luke's Gospel in the 6th chapter, verses 27 through 38. But I say to you who are listening, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who mistreat you. If anyone strikes you on the cheek, offer the other also. And from anyone who takes away your coat, do not withhold even your shirt. Give to everyone who asks of you. And if anyone takes away what is yours, do not ask for it back again. Do to others as you would have them do to you. If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. If you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners do the same. If you lend to those from whom you expect to receive payment, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners to receive as much again. Instead, love your enemies. Do good and lend, expecting nothing in return. Your reward will be great, and you will be children of the Most High. For He Himself is kind to the ungrateful and the wicked. Be merciful, just as your Father is merciful. Do not judge, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your lap. For the measure you give will be the measure you get back. This is the word of God for the people of God, and we give thanks to God for it. Join together in a spirit of prayer. Heavenly Father, we call out to you and we give you thanks. We thank you for the gift of your word, a living and creative and redeeming word. And we gather around this word and we hope to take it into our hearts and our minds, that it could heal us and change us. And so we pray, save us, O God, from misinterpretation and distraction, so that we could come to hear and understand and embody this, your good, good word. We pray this in your holy name, and we say, Amen. Friends, we continue on in this 6th chapter of Luke, considering the words of Jesus in what is known as the Sermon on the Plain, Luke's telling of what Matthew presents as the Sermon on the Mount. It quite possibly was a sermon that Jesus preached regularly. these themes of what true blessing looks like, what true faith looks like, to just refresh our memory on the context of the story here in chapter 6. Jesus and the disciples have been on a mountainside retreat of sorts, and he has selected 12 among the disciples to be ordained, if you will, to be apostles, students that will be the ones marked to take over the ministry in his absence. And so when that retreat's over, they come down to the plain, to the level place, where they're greeted by a crowd of people. People who have come to touch Jesus because a kind of healing power radiated from him. They couldn't fully describe it, but they knew that as they saw him touch people, or if they were blessed enough to be touched by him, they changed. They were healed. Their physical maladies were healed. If they were tormented in their thinking, their minds were put right. They were blessed. They were made whole. And Jesus used this opportunity among those who had come reaching out, desperate for a word, for a glance, for a touch. And he says to his apostles in particular, but those gathered who seek to follow him, do you see this? Do you see what happens in the presence of the coming kingdom? Blessed are the poor, and blessed are the weak, and blessed are the ones who grieve and can't stop crying. By the measure of the world, these all are cursed, but I tell you, in the presence of the kingdom of the heavens, they're blessed. And we'll come to see, as the Gospels play out, this blessing ministry. Where does the kingdom of the heavens break in first when it comes into town? Among the broken, among the weak, among the discouraged. And where does it bring the greatest challenge and warning? Among the complacent, among the powerful and the well-positioned, among the people, by earthly measure, among the people with something to lose and power to hang on to. So Jesus there with this crowd, this desperate crowd, many of them, and the ones who seek to follow in his way, and he draws their attention to one another. This is what I've come to do. This is what it looks like to usher in the new age, an age of healing and hope and blessedness among people who thought that there would never be hope, that there would never be a better tomorrow. But through the Holy Spirit, through the power that radiates from Jesus, hope is possible. Blessing takes place. And so he says to them, apostles and disciples, pay close attention, because this is everything. And he preaches this sermon that we're familiar with. It's still kind of hard for us to hear. And I'd imagine that as he's preaching, it's so much that people are disconnecting along the way. Wait, did he just say, blessed are the poor? And so there's a particular disciple or apostle or anyone in the crowd they're ruminating on that. That sparked a million thoughts in their minds. And so they're missing the sermon as he's laying it out there, which is why I think this line is in the text. Jesus says, but I say to you who are listening, and maybe you could read it as, I say to you who are still listening, if you haven't checked out or walked away yet, come on, I've got more to tell you. If you're still listening, I got more. Love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who mistreat you. If anyone strikes you on the cheek, offer the other also. And from anyone who takes away your coat, do not withhold even your shirt. Give to everyone who asks of you, and if anyone takes away what is yours, don't ask for it back again. Do to others as you would have them do to you. That all line by line, many of those things, they can seem like nonsense. And I think it's very important for us to read them first in the context of this sermon on that day, among that crowd, on that plane. The intimacy and the intensity of a crowd that has come leaning in and expecting to be healed and changed and made whole by Jesus. And Jesus, looking at these disciples and apostles that he loves, knowing that there is a transition of heart and perspective that needs to take place that requires a whole new way of engaging the world around them. There's the way that things usually go in these circumstances. If you've got an enemy, you give them a wide berth, you ignore them, you don't engage with them. The last thing you might think to do is to love them. And if someone hates you, is it your instinct to love them? You might not hate them in return, but you at least might have a big dose of indifference toward them. If someone curses you, is your instinct, is your basic instinct to bless them or to reflect that curse back to them? Or again, just ignore them entirely. If anyone takes something from you, your first instinct would be get it back, not to give them something else. And on and on and on. And I always think it's helpful to read these things and then watch them all play out in the gospel. Who gets struck on the cheek and turns the other one? Who has his cloak taken from him and auctioned off? Our Lord and Savior, our Jesus. So what for us if these things seem instinctively like nonsense or impossibilities? Know that he embodies them and shows us the way. Love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Maybe in a very oversimplified shorthand, just don't be like them. You have an intrinsic sense that what this or that person inspired in you, provokes in you, you know it's bitterness. You know it's defensiveness. Pause and pray. And don't be like that. Don't let yourself be destroyed. There's going to be moments when you have to defend yourself, that you have to remove yourself from a situation. I gather from this part of the sermon, it's Jesus' call to holiness. Which I think, as we shift down, and let's move now to the next part. If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. If you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? And so on. And so I want to take a little bit of liberty here, because I think at least it helps me understand these passages. This word credit, I don't think it's helpful to think of it as putting something on account, storing up credits for us, some kind of point system. think of credit, at least I come to think of credit as the practice of holiness. How do you improve in the practice of your faith? Spiritual growth maybe is another way to think of it. And so let's reread it and just for a moment, let's exchange credit for spiritual growth and see what that sounds like. If you love those who love you, how does that help you grow spiritually? For even sinners love those who love them. If you do good to those who do good to you, how does that help you grow spiritually? For even sinners do the same. If you lend to those from whom you expect to receive, what credit is that to you? Or how does that help you grow spiritually? And even as I'm saying that, is that being like me? Is that being like Jesus? That it's hard. But your reward will be great because with each act of forgiveness, with each act of loving kindness, with an intent to embody the Jesus that we encounter, to be among the apostles and disciples, and to see Jesus there in that place on that day, healing those people, having miracles happen right before our eyes, and then laying out for us a spiritual discipline that in some ways requires the same miracle providing power. Because for many of us, and I will stand first in line, some days it feels like it would take a miracle for me to love my enemies. Some days it feels like it would take a miracle for me to do good to those who hate. And it would take a miracle to bless those who curse me. It would take power that is not my own. To get down before God and say, this person has just grieved my heart. It's so hard for me to think any positive thought about them. I want to avoid them, and I have to try to push away thoughts of wanting bad things to happen to them. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me. Teach me to be merciful. Help me to walk in your way. But the result is this: forgiveness by forgiveness, charity by charity, act of compassion by act of compassion, generosity by generosity, we change. We become more like Jesus. Our ability to receive the gift of the divine mind, to see the world from an eternal perspective, to view friends and enemies alike through the eyes of the Heavenly Father. It's the only way for us to learn. It's the only way for us to grow. It's the credit. It's the growth that we receive. Jesus puts it this way: do not judge and you will not be judged. Do not condemn and you will not be condemned. Forgive and you will be forgiven. Give and it will be given unto you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your lap. For the measure you give will be the measure you get back. By giving away grace and peace, by holding your tongue when you want to spit venom and offering a prayer of blessing instead, by offering your generosity generosity with your finances or your time or your presence to bring healing, to offer peace. We walk in the way of our Lord, in the paths of righteousness, of grace and peace. And by giving away and by stepping back from our more visceral, venial reactions and inviting the Holy Spirit into our hearts and minds, we find peace, a peace in abundance. We find hope and love and joy and life eternal. It's a teaching we need to sit with and pray over for a while. We need to keep listening, reading, and rereading. And as we do, we find great, great news. To which I say, Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we call out to you. We pray to you. We give you thanks. And we pray that you'd help us to keep listening, that you'd help us to be more like you, that you'd forgive us when we stumble and fall. We do it a lot. We stumble, we fall. We find it hard to love our enemies. We find it hard to bless those who curse us. We confess these moments to you, the times in our lives when we speak, when we should be quiet, the times when we are quiet, when we ought to say something, the times when we sit idly by, when we ought to act, and the times when we act impulsively, when we should restrain ourselves from any action. For the unchecked appetites and the unkind words, for our lack of generosity, any of these things, O God, you know all of us. We take a moment and we just open our hands and open our hearts to you, and we come to you with broken spirits and contrite hearts, seeking your forgiveness. For it is the promise of our faith that when we come to you humbly and honestly, that you bless us with your grace and your peace and your forgiveness. And so we receive it. We thank you for it. And we ask, O God, you know the world around us. There are people in positions of power. And we worry about their motives. And we wonder if they have any idea about the lives of the people that they have influence and power over. Give them eyes to see. Give them hearts of compassion. And for those of us who feel that our power and influence is very limited, O God, help us to stand up and to love one another and to speak your name and to go into the world with boldness, knowing that each and every one of us are fearfully and wonderfully made, that we are your children. And as your children, as those who seek your wisdom and your healing and your blessing, you know that all of us have a list of sorts. Sometimes we actually do write it down. There are joys and concerns, things we are thankful for, and things we so desperately need your help with, our prayer lists. So we take a moment to consider these lists, to read through them, and to hand them over to you. And as we hand them to you, God, we we make a silent space, trusting that you will read our prayer lists. In the quiet moment, that we could hear your voice and feel your presence. We break our silence. We give you thanks for the gifts of peace and quiet. And we thank you for the faith of the generations that have gone before us, a faith that has preserved for us our sacred stories and our songs and our prayers and our rites and our rituals. Among all of these is a prayer that goes by your name. We pray that you'd hear us as we say together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. So, my dear friends, as we prepare to go our separate ways, I pray that we do so inspired to love and to bless and to pray and to give, to do all of these things for everyone we encounter. For such is the kingdom of God, our God, whom we know in three persons, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, who blesses you and bids you peace. Go in peace. Amen.